You are listening to the weekly message from Mount Helena Community Church. Celebration services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Gateway Center. Or join us live online at www.mounthelena.cc.
Well, it's nice to know you've had many world-class great speakers over the last 8 weeks, so God's gonna bring you down this morning to, we're going to get back to normal maybe. Yeah, so it's really good to be here. It's good to be here again. I've been in communication and fellowship to some degree or another with Mount Helena Christian Community Church, or is that the original name? Mount Helena Community Church. For many, many years, going back to even when you were the Church on a Hill. And I'm surprised at how long some of the relationships we've had still exist and that we continue to come back. And it's just great to continue to connect with you guys. And so this is my beautiful wife, Winnie. At least I can introduce her. Winnie, can you come up here? Just so you can see that I really do have a better half. We've been married for 30 years this month, and we've got five kids, as you'll see there, four biological, one adopted, and she is definitely my better-looking half, that's for sure. Better in so many ways, so thank you, Winnie. Yeah, so it's really good to see you guys again. It's been great to connect again with JR and to see hear what the Lord is doing here with you guys. I get the privilege of traveling the world. I don't really want to make it sound too big. The Lord sent me out to travel the world. Basically means that he sent me to the Philippines, 36 years ago as a young boy, and I've been able to travel to many countries, but primarily travel around the U.S. and Canada, Australia, and some other countries as well, and of course all over the Philippines. And I feel that I am very, 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 very blessed to be able to do that. And I do ask you to pray for me this morning. You know, JR will be able to associate with this better than many of you that have never spoken. There's many times when we get up to speak and we, like it or not, we are not really sure if we have what the Lord wants, and we kind of have to wing it. Most preachers probably wouldn't admit that publicly, but it happens a lot more than you probably think it does. And so I'm going to ask for us to pray, and I do hope and pray that some of what we share today will be a blessing to you and might touch your heart. JR said that I've spoken before and it has tugged at our heartstrings. That's always a wonderful thing. But sometimes, you know, God needs to do more than just pull at our emotions. Sometimes God needs to break down also. Sometimes even the, you know, constructs that are in our head, it's not always about our emotions. Sometimes it's about the way we think that sometimes keep us from doing greater things for the Lord as a community, as an individual, as a ministry, as an organization. So I'm not really sure what God might speak to you today. I've always believed that if our hearts are open, that, I've used this story many, many times where the little kid came and Jesus wanted his disciples to feed the 5,000 and they didn't have any food. And some silly little kid said, well, I got two fish and a loaf here. And if you think of the bizarreness of that, you know, the disciples probably looked at him with disdain because, you know, there's so many people here and all you've got is that. Are you kidding me? And yet Jesus was able to feed everybody with that. So I think that even with a silly, former drug-addicted, drunken young man that was sent out to the mission field can come and speak, even if there were 5,000 people here, God has something for everyone if our hearts are open. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to feed every one of us today and to minister to each one of us. So if we could, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Again, thank you for having us, and let's just invite the presence of the Holy Spirit that is already here, but let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, and I'm so blessed to be here today. Lord, I just love this church. I love the people here. I love what you're doing here. I love just the feel of Mount Helena Church, Lord. I just thank you for JR and Jason and the elder team here. Lord, I thank you for their journey. Lord, the journey that you're bringing this church through, their history, how they started, all their experiences, the transitions, the transition that continues, and what's ahead of them, Lord. And I just pray a blessing on this congregation. Lord, I pray that you would grant them faith for the journey, that you'd grant them just a heart that's willing to risk, a heart that's still willing to believe. Lord, I ask you to just bless this congregation. Would you unite their hearts? Would you cause growth? Would you manifest your presence? Would your spirit be known to be in this place? And I thank you, Lord, that we can count on you for that. We can depend on you for it. And we're going to give you the praise and the glory for being here today with us and to just anoint your word. I pray, Lord, that even if we are all broken vessels, none of us has all the answers, I hope and pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak through your word and that you would touch every person here in their own special way, in the way that they have need. It's easy to sit here, Lord, and to listen, but not to learn, not to grow. I pray that we would be touched and that we would develop. We ask it, Lord, in your name, Jesus. Amen. So first, I was just going to show you my family. You can see some. We've got five kids. The dark one there with the black hair, he looks the most like me. He's our adopted boy, Elmer. He's the first kid we took off the streets of the Philippines when we started our Face the Children program. The guy over on the left would be our son-in-law. That's my oldest daughter in front of him. We have two beautiful grandkids. They're the best grandkids in the whole world. There's no more arguing about that. beautiful, beautiful kids. Grandkids certainly are wonderful. My oldest boy there, he was real happy when we announced we were having a family picture because he just shaved his head that day. He was, I guess, trying to look like me. And that's our oldest boy, Jonathan. And then next to me is my daughter, Bethany. She's getting married in December and moving to Seattle. And Joel is here in Helena. Hopefully he hasn't burned anything down yet. And Joel, I hope you're here. Are you here? I'll probably see him in a bit. So that's our family. We love what God has given to us, and we're enjoying it. So I just wanted to share. I'm going to go through this real quickly. I don't have too many slides for you, but I do have a couple of videos I want you to watch. This is our mission statement, reaching and helping people find their way back to God. We've become increasingly committed to this. We actually stole it from Community Christian Church out of Naperville, Illinois. But theirs is, we think theirs is a bit muted because theirs is just helping people find their way back to God. And we felt that wasn't aggressive enough for us because Frontline has always been very, very aggressive. I've always believed that the church is called to go. The church is called to reach out. The church is called to be aggressive. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe that God was very aggressive toward you, so much so that he sent his only son to die on the cross to die for you. And that's pretty aggressive, if you think about it, that he would come, God, with us and live in this world among us to die for our sins so that we could be saved. So we are reaching and helping people find their way back to God in several different means, and some of those we'll share with you, but that's just to show me preaching, so you know I'm actually a preacher and a pastor. My wife's there. We do a lot of feeding programs, and this is basically who we serve. Now, I don't want you to think that the Philippines is all like this, because it's not. We serve generally, though, the poor. We are primarily focused on the marginalized, poor, broken, needy. It wasn't actually a decision we made. Somebody actually pointed it out one time about 8 years ago, and I said, well, I guess you're right. Pointed out that everywhere you go and minister are people in need and are people that are liabilities. And we don't do a great job at ministering to the wealthy. Not that we don't think churches should. Churches should do that. The wealthy, the business people, they need also somebody speaking their language and reaching out to them. We don't do a great job at it because we really focus on the poor. And so most of our ministries you'll see there is in the hospital. That little girl in the middle there, that is a girl. She was almost dead at that time. She's now a beautiful young lady in our program. You've seen this other picture on your right. That's a 9-year-old girl feeding her 6-month-old child from a feeding program we had. And not her child, I'm sorry, that's her sister. It's a 6-month-old sister that she took care of. And I think last year, if you were in our service here, you probably saw her story, but I'm going to just briefly connect you with it again. And so this is what Frontline does in the Philippines. This is where God sent me. The Philippines is a beautiful country. It's a lovely people. They got so much going for them, but they got serious problems just like we do, but theirs are different. You don't see too much poverty being manifested like that picture at the top in our country, but in many countries of the world, that is the manifestation of poverty. It's a poverty that you and I are not always familiar with. When I went to the Philippines, I never thought I would see kids sleeping on sidewalks. I mean, nobody told me to prepare for that, and of course, I didn't have much time to prepare anyway because if you know my testimony, I got saved in August of 1980. 1 week later, I joined ministry. 2 weeks later, I was invited to the Philippines. And so 5 weeks after I became a Christ follower, I was living in those conditions. So I didn't have any training, and nobody told me what to prepare for. Just God called me and sent me, and I was dumb enough to go. And I'm hoping there might be a few others here today that are silly enough to believe God for great things and just to answer his call and to go and to get involved. And so this is who we serve. We now, you know, for 20 years we traveled the nation and all we did was preach the gospel to people. We've preached the gospel to millions of people. I don't have the time to show you the pictures and the stories, but we had at one time a team of 75 people traveling together from city to city. We had 20 trailers, 20 tents. We had outhouses. We had kitchen trailers. We had all this stuff. And we would move like a big circus and a big tent that would seat about 3,000 people. And we would preach the gospel for 30 nights straight in every city we went to. And then we would move to the next city. So we were gypsies for Jesus. We were nomads. And I believe that's the life God has called me to. I think I've never stopped traveling since Jesus called me in August of 1980. He didn't tell me that was going to happen, but that's okay. Planting churches now. So now what we do is we have transformed a bit in our ministry from being a ministry that preaches just the gospel to people to four different aspects that we, fronts that we work on. And one of them is we've taken our evangelistic spirit into each one of these, but primarily our evangelism now is through church planting. We've now got 8 campuses, and we've got 3 in development. We're going to dedicate a new campus on December 4th. We've gone from 1 campus to 8 in just the last 6 years. And so we have 3 other places that are developing now that also are looking for us to build around what God is doing. And that's what I get the pleasure of doing, is that God is moving in ways now through our church planting. As you can see, that's our annual event there where we get everybody together in one place. And then there's a few other pictures there of different sites. The guy being baptized up there is only a Christian for 2 years, and he's now a campus pastor. Don't tell me how that happens, or don't ask me how that happens, because I don't know. And another front that we work on, though, is education. And this is because we are helping street children. So it's a little bit backwards how I'm explaining it. But we provide education to abandoned children, but not just abandoned. We believe that children need a good, solid Christian education. And the education in the Philippines, their system is broken down worse than ours in many aspects because they generally don't care for the children that are in their care. Public school system is very, very bad. But the children we're taking off the streets have so much baggage and so much trauma. We knew that we couldn't depend on the public school systems or even the private schools for that, so we set up our own school, and you'll see a little bit about that in a bit, too, in a video. Compassionate care, we take children off the street. This is called Face the Children. And just so you know, if there's anybody here that wants to sponsor a child, you're welcome to do so. We've got some pictures out in the foyer on a table. You can talk to us about that afterwards. You can sponsor a child for as little as $20 a month, $40 a month, or whatever you want, up to a certain amount, because we take full-time care of these children. And so right now I'm going to show you a quick video that kind of just goes through, it's 2 minutes, and it just goes through basically what I've told you, but in a little bit of a video format, if you can play that. I think it played earlier, right? Okay, should we just move on, or... Wait 1 second. All right. We hate dead spots in church, don't we? Because we just sit here and start getting nervous and everybody starts sweating and fidgeting. And so it's like being in an elevator, right? Okay, there we go. Thank you.
Philippine Frontline Ministries believes in transformation. Through the power of God's love and care for people, we are determined to make a difference in people's lives with a particular emphasis on poor communities. Frontline is engaged on 4 fronts: evangelism, education, compassionate care, and social enterprise, all of which aim to impact both the micro and macro level. Reaching others with the love of God, Frontline Worship Center is a growing network of evangelistic churches exhibiting an engaging faith, joyful love for people, and a care for local society. Believing education is a critical factor for future achievers and leaders, Frontline Christian Academy Incorporated employs a holistic approach to achieve character and academic excellence. Through our compassionate care initiative, Face the Children, our aim is the transformation of abandoned, abused, and neglected children in our full-time care. This will heal, encourage, and develop children for a future of success and personal contribution. Through our
Okay. That's not the end, but if we want to end it there, that's okay. Are you having some trouble with that?
and is not only providing job opportunities, but creating alternative revenue streams to sustain and grow its mission. For example, Remote Link Philippines Incorporated, an internet technology company, generates revenue by providing local graduates the opportunity to learn a living for their families right here at home. Our newly developed Threadcraft Sewing Initiative is a network of small to medium-sized sewing factories established in marginalized locations. Through a dynamic partnership with Faces Apparel Incorporated, a USA-based company specializing in micro-factory initiatives, we can directly impact needy communities both economically and spiritually. By partnering with Philippine Frontline Ministries Incorporated, you are partnering not only in short-term remedies, but with those making a difference for future generations through strategic long-term solutions.
Okay, thank you. And then we've got one next video that I want to show you. It's about 4 minutes. And the reason I'm showing you these is because you guys are partners with us. You've got teams that are coming out. I believe the partnership is going to grow. And we've got some of you here that are sponsoring children. So lest I forget, I do also want to say thank you for that. But I also want you to see what you're partnering with and who we are. And so I want to share you the story of one of the boys that came through our center. His name is Jefferson Bond. And the story that we're going to show you is a significant story of what we love and what we're seeing God doing. And so if we can play that.
Jefferson Bone, wow. He decided on his own at a young age that he was going to leave home and live on the street. And when he was on the street, he quickly learned how to survive. That's where we found Jefferson, was out on the street when we would go out and we would minister to kids at nighttime. And eventually we decided that if we were really going to help them, we had to add education. Jefferson was focused. Jefferson always knew, I think, that he wanted education. He knew what he wanted in life, that he wanted to make something more than a boy living on the street. Although he came to the center as a fighter and a survivor, he quickly learned how to forgive and how to let go of situations and how to allow God to work in his heart. And he turned into a great older brother for the younger kids within Face the Children.
I might read some of this for you.
Ang magulang ni Jefferson.
If you can't read it, some of you might not be able to see it. This is Jefferson's mother.
Nakapag-aral naman po si anong elementary.
He went to school during elementary, but while he was in school, we were collecting and recycling garbage. It was hard for him. He was also stubborn as a boy. That's why he wouldn't stay and sleep. He'd stay and sleep at the lake. I didn't want him to ruin his life like the other kids. Because, of course, we're parents. When I think about my life before, I'd say to myself that I don't want anybody to experience what I
had.
You didn't know if you were going to eat or not.
You
didn't have a proper place to sleep. You would get sick. You didn't know if it would start raining or where you'd get medicine if you got sick.
Magkakasakit ka at pag nagkasakit ka is hindi mo alam kung saan ka lalapit, saan ka kukuha ng pambili ng gamot. Nung mapunta ako sa Face the Children, nasa isip ko lang talaga is
he came to Face the Children, he thought at least he's
gonna
eat.
Ako. Hindi ko talaga ina-expect.
But he didn't know he was gonna be able to go to school. Ako.
Jefferson was, he was a great student. He was a hard worker. He did not miss school. No excuses. He came to school every day. And what I enjoyed about having him as a student was the way that he took hold of the opportunity for life that was given to him, the opportunity for success. And he took it and he graduated valedictorian of his high school class.
This is our oldest daughter.
I remember his graduation day, wearing his graduation cap and his toga and giving his speech as valedictorian of the high school class. It was truly a moving moment.
Nung high school po ako, meron mga itinuturo sila na advanced. And ito po yung naging dahilan po kung bakit nagkaroon po ako ng interest.
So he became interested in taking internet technology in college.
Hindi po naging mahirap yung
pag-aaral. College was never too hard for him because he had the support that he needed.
Dahil na din po sa mga taong sumuporta sa akin. Nang makagraduate ako ng college, agad akong ilooban ng Panginoon na makapag-work. Ito ay sa Remote Link Philippines.
It was a real milestone for Face the Children and here at Frontline when Jefferson Bond graduated from college with an IT degree.
And as the manager of Remote Link Philippines, our business's ministry initiative here, it was a real privilege to be able to interview him and to hire him. What a privilege it was to have somebody who just several years before had come off of the streets, come into our program, went through high school, got his degree, and was now working in our company.
Ako ay nag-decide na mag-full-time sa church.
No, I decided to give myself full-time to the church. Na
makapag-serve.
Because I want to serve the Lord.
Maibigay ko po talaga ang lahat ko para sa kanya.
He's very talented in music. He's also handling outreaches, developing leaders also. His dream is to become one of the pastors in Frontline.
The Frontline. Na binigyan
sa amin. Frontline gave him an opportunity for a good future.
Kaya kami naman natutuwa ang magulang.
And his parents were so happy. Even his brothers and sisters are happy for him. Because he's now able to help our family.
I'm Jefferson Bond, and this is my Frontline story.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you can put the PowerPoint back up there. This is a 9-year-old girl that was abandoned. I told you before that if you were here last year, you may have seen her. I just again want to point out that this is what we're dealing with. It's not just when you sponsor a child at Face the Children, you're not just subsidizing their education, making sure they can go to public school. You're caring for kids that are deeply traumatized, that have been abandoned and abused or dangerously neglected. This girl was 9 years old. You can see down here in this picture here how malnourished she is. You can tell by the color of her hair and her skin. The little girl here was nearly losing a lot of her hair. She would have died probably within, I don't know how many weeks. There's no telling because it's surprising how many kids survived this. But she was literally abandoned to this sister of hers days and days and days on end. Her mother was gone, but her dad would show up once in a while. And her dad's a very dangerous guy, a drug addict. Very problematic, and we brought them into our center. But again, to show you what the love and the goodness of God can do, and I want you to believe that it means even here. But in just a couple of years, this is the difference that can be made in the lives of children who simply need love and who simply need protection and care and a bit of food, of course. And this little girl, if I could tell you her story, which we don't have time for, but this girl here, she is doing so well in school. The first day of school at 9 years old, she started taking her education at Frontline Christian Academy. My wife mentored her, got her up to speed. She's now in school. She's now taking academic awards. She's a great athlete. She's got a wonderful attitude and spirit. And I'm like, I don't even know how that happens. I'm like, man, if I was left on the streets until I was 9 and been deprived, and you know, I'm not sure I'd have a good attitude. But you know, what we're finding is there are challenges though, because the kids do have inner conflict that eventually they're going to deal with. And so there is energy in there that has to be ministered to. And so we find it challenging. It's not an easy work to minister to children that come off the streets. But this little girl also is doing well now. She's beautiful. She's just a winsome little girl. And Rose May and Trixie May. So, yeah, and she's also in school. So they're doing great. And we're just blessed. I feel so blessed to be able to be a part of this. Now, one thing you saw in the video, and that's the end of that. So there we go. One thing you saw in the video was that we have also businesses ministry. I just want to, this is not really my message for you today, but I just want to share with you that we too have gone through a real transition as a ministry. And 20 or 10 years, 15 years ago, if you'd have said to me, hey, Jeff, you guys ought to be involved in business, or you ought to be involved in education, or you ought to be, you know, doing these other kinds of things, I would have probably rebuked you. You know, I mean, because I went through an experience in my life when I got saved in 1980, the Lord called me and thrust me into ministry and did something in me that really kind of messed me up. I mean, I know that doesn't probably translate well, but he kind of messed me up because I really, really took and I still take the scriptures to be real. And what I mean is that Jesus said he's coming again. And probably if I asked you today if we believe that, most of you would say yes, right? All right, we believe that. Jesus is coming again. No big deal, right? He's just coming again. The world's going to end. You know, there's a lot of, you know, millions and millions of people that are going to go off into a godless eternity and millions that aren't. But you see, I couldn't see that as no big deal. When I gave my life to Christ in August of 1980, started reading the scriptures, that really messed me up. I was like, well, as I started reading through the scriptures, I was like, if this is true, then nothing else matters. You get my point? I mean, I guess my logic just blew everything else away and went, well, wait a minute. If this is true, then nothing else matters except that we go out and win people to Christ. And so I'll tell you a story that probably your pastor's going to have to fix this in the days to come. But I get that privilege. I get to say things that, you know, and then I can run because I'm leaving in a couple of days. But when I got saved and gave my life to Christ, God called me into ministry. And it was an audible call. I heard the voice of the Lord three times in the first week of my walk with him. I don't hear it all the time, so don't worry. I don't have voices, but I did hear the Lord speak to me. One time was on the night that I went to this big tent in Aurora, Illinois, and I was resisting the call of God to come to the front. My life had already been changed. I won't tell you that whole story, but now I was in a public meeting, and the Holy Spirit was calling me to come forward, and I was resisting. That very morning, I gave God an ultimatum. I said, God, it's either now or never. You either change my life or I'm throwing it away. I was suicidal, and I was going to end it. And so God showed up and changed my life dramatically. And it's a crazy story. But that night, I was in this tent. I'd been invited to a tent meeting, and I was resisting the call of the Holy Spirit because the preacher had preached a really good message. And he comes to the microphone and says, now we're going to sing this song. And these were all hippie Jesus people guys and big beards and all that, blue jeans. You know, they didn't wear three-piece suits and ties like the church was at the time. And he says, we're going to sing this song, I Surrender All. And so they started singing this song, I Surrender All. And he started inviting people forward. And, you know, a few people came up. He comes back to the mic and he says, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to keep singing. There's still some people that are resisting the Holy Spirit, and there's more people that need to respond. And so I'm back there, and the Holy Spirit is saying, you go forward. And I'm good. I'm good right here. My life's changed. I'm really happy tonight. And so they go on through the song. The minister comes back again. He says, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to keep singing this song. There's still others that need to respond. And this is now the third time. And I'm starting to hang on to the bench a little bit tighter, and the Holy Spirit is saying, you go forward. And I'm like, I'm good, Lord, I'm good. For crying out loud. I mean, you know, my life has been changed already. And it really was dramatically changed. But I'm just trying to be sure I remember why I got into this story. That happens to me sometimes. Pray for me, please. Pray for me. I don't want to take you down a bunch of rabbit trails. So the fourth time he comes up and he says, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. I know this is taking a while. Those of you that need to leave may leave, but there is still someone resisting the Lord. And I'm like, man, this is hard. And I started sweating. I start shaking. And the Holy Spirit is in. And this is where I was going with this now. I remember. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for praying for me. I'm standing there, and I was resisting so hard. And I heard a voice over my shoulder. And he said to me, it wasn't my head. It was a voice over my right shoulder that said, this morning you said now or never. I'm telling you now, it's now or never. And boy, it was a threat. I mean, I threatened him in the morning. He threatened me in the evening. So I said, it all's fair in love and war, right? So I bolted. I took off, and I ran to the front. And as soon as my knees touched the ground, that guy was at the microphone and said, okay, let's pray. So I tell you, when God's after Jonah, he knows how to get him, right? And God knows how to get us. He knows how to reach us when he really wants to. And so I heard the voice of the Lord. That was the first time. It really scared me, and I knew that it was the Lord. I knew that it was, I don't know the Lord's voice, but it was a voice, and I heard it. And another time, within that first week, was God had called me to get involved in ministry. Now, you know, I know the normal state of the church. You don't normally just get saved and run out and get involved in ministry. That isn't normal, right? So, but the third day after I became a Christ follower, the Lord spoke to me and told me to go out and get involved in the harvest. I was 20 years old. 3 days prior to that, I was a drug-addicted, drunken rock and roll band member. I mean, we were just partying. We were living a crazy life. It was a dark life, and it wasn't good. And so the Lord told me to get involved in ministry. Well, my mother was a Christian, and the short, you know, so you understand a little bit of my background, I had been baptized 6 times by the time I was 15. Okay, some of you know that. You've heard that. Baptism won't save you. Some of the guys that had ministered to me as a young man, they were elders in our town. I knew them. They were great guys. My mom calls me and says, hey, Bill and Will and Dan, you know, I know these guys. They want to talk to you, Jeff. And I didn't know about what, but I said, okay, sure, I'll go meet them. when I went over to talk with them, they spent some time trying to explain to me that this isn't the way it's done, Jeff. Their hearts were right, I know that, but they were trying to explain to me that you don't just run off to the mission field. That isn't the way it's done. And they were trying to explain to me why, that I needed foundation, I needed growing, I needed to be built up, I needed to learn. And as true as that may be, so I'll help you out here, JR, the Lord spoke to me and said, don't listen to them. You know, that's the one you have to deal with. That's the hard one, is because generally you should listen to your leaders, right? So I'm not trying to cause a rebellion anywhere, but in this moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit and said, don't listen to them. And innately in my heart, I knew that the right thing to do was not to listen. So I said, thank you. Thank you, you guys. I'll take that to heart, but I really didn't mean it. I mean, that was probably my first lie as a Christian. I said, thank you. They prayed for me. I went home, and 4 days later, I was gone. I sold my stuff. I proceeded, and there's more story in that. I went to East St. Louis, and so the Lord spoke to me, and I heard his call. God called me into a very radical disengagement from the world, though. I was just disengaged. You know, the Lord really messed with my head that this is serious stuff. I mean, I go to churches all over North America, the world, and I say, do you guys still believe in hell? And almost 99% of the people say, yeah, I believe in hell. Like, it's no big deal. You understand my point? It's like, yeah, we believe in hell. Heck yeah, we believe in hell. We're standing on that doctrine. We're not letting that one go. But we're not letting it move us either. We're not letting it mess with our heads. We're not letting it break our hearts. We're not, you know, we're like the old saints that sing that song, I shall not be moved. And we grit our teeth while we're singing it, right? I won't be moved. Nothing's going to move me. But things should move us. Amen? Things should move us. And the truth of what we know as Christ followers should move us, should move us deeply. And it did. It moved me. It moved me so much that I thought nothing else matters. So that's what I've come to call that, a radical disengagement from the world, a radical disengagagement from you know, the concerns for money, concerns for anything, because the world is going to end. I probably didn't realize that it was a little bit connected also, perhaps, a little bit connected to my depression. I told you I was suicidal. I didn't like what I was seeing in life. I didn't find purpose. I didn't know why you know, I knew that there had to be something more than what I had. I'd go to work and think, God, is this it? Are you kidding me? This is what life is all about? You know, I'm just going to earn money and, like, buy trucks. And I had a 1956 Chevy pickup. I had two of them. Loved them. Thought, wow, I'm really cool driving around in these trucks and, you know, have stuff. You start collecting stuff. But, you know, I started seeing through this at a very young age. I started thinking, you know, most people don't get there until they're like 40s or 50s or midlife crisis, right? But here I was 20 years old, and it was driving me nuts that there has to be more to life than this. And so God showed me that indeed there is more to life than this and gave me purpose and opened my eyes to things that sometimes I could bear to even look at, bear to even think about. When you read the scriptures and you talk about an eternal hell, that's really difficult if you think about it. That's really difficult to bear. Most of us don't let it touch us because when we do, it's really painful. It's hard to think about anybody going off in eternity without God. And what a blessing it is to think of those that can go into eternity with the Lord. So I radically disconnected, disengaged. God ruined me for this world, ruined me completely. And for 20 years, I was a nutcase. I went out to the Philippines, and I was 20 years old. I got there. It was under martial law. It was dangerous. I didn't care. I've had guns pointed to my head. I've had guns pointed between my eyes right to my face. I've been in dangerous situations where, honestly, if the Lord hadn't been there, I wouldn't be here today talking to you. But I was radically committed to the cause of the gospel. We must. And so that's what led to 75-member team, trailers and tents and a big tent, traveling from city to city, preaching the gospel to millions of people. Because for those years of my life, that's all that mattered. Jesus is coming, the world's on fire, and we got to take the nations for Jesus. And I still believe that. However, there's been a bit of a transformation, and I want to share this scripture with you. Ecclesiastes, this is the scripture. Now, I'm not going to show scriptures on the screen. I'm not going to share a lot of scriptures with you. But the Lord spoke to me through this verse, and this is what compelled me to go out. It might seem like an odd verse to you, But that night that the Lord called me into ministry, it was Ecclesiastes 11:1. And it says, cast your bread on the waters, for after many days it'll come back to you. How many of you are fishermen here? Did anybody here fish? Okay, have you ever thrown bread on the water? Okay, now, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I know what happens to bread when you throw it on the water, and it ain't coming back to you, right? So that verse really doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Cast your bread on the water, and after many days it'll come back to you? Really? I mean, I used to throw bread on the water, and I know what happens. The fish come and eat it up, it turns to mush, and after a few minutes it's all gone, right? But God spoke to me so clearly through that verse. And it is, it's okay. Let go. Let go and give up. Give it to me. Cast your bread on the water. And I promise you, after many days, it'll come back to you. What I showed you on the screen today is how it's come back. You understand? I didn't realize that God was going to let us go out at that time that he called me. I didn't know that he was going to let us go out and preach to millions of people and see hundreds of thousands of people say yes to Christ. I didn't know that, but I did read where Jesus said that no man having forsaken houses, lands, mothers, brothers, sisters, family, you know that verse in Matthew where he says, there's no man that does that who I will not bless, both in this life and in the life to come. And I will give him hundreds more mothers and brothers and sisters and lands and houses. I got to tell you something. Since I gave it all away, since I gave it all up, I mean, even here in Helena, you guys treat me like I'm your kid. Or like I'm your old man or something. I don't know, kid. You're like your dad, I guess. But all over the world, I've got brothers. I go to Australia, and I'm treated like when I meet Christians, they welcome me and my family and my wife into their home. They call me brother from the moment I met. I've got so many mothers all over the world, so many brothers and sisters, and I feel loved and complete everywhere that I go. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That we have a family that encompasses the world today that is 2.9 billion people that will love me just because I'm a Christ follower and who will feed me and take care of me. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a traveling bum. That's not what we are. I'm just saying to you that God is good. And I heard a call. And so how did we get to this point? This is the thing that I want to share with you today, is that I heard a call of God to go. And I was dumb enough to believe and go. Dumb enough to believe and to go. All right? And it's now, again, a little bit before I forget that thought, I was going to share with you that the transformation that has taken place at Frontline, we have now gone from radical disengagement. And over the years, I saw the value of that and the goodness, but the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart and to help me to understand. And I come across verses that would say things like this: the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Right? The hills are mine, the cattle are mine, the gold and the silver, it's mine. I began to think, wait a minute, the earth is the Lord's, not the devil's. Helena belongs to God. The Helena Valley belongs to the Lord. I would read scriptures where God said to Joshua, every place you set the sole of your foot, I'll give it to you. I'm not a name it and claim it preacher. I don't really believe in some of that stuff, but I do believe the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And I've slowly began to see that we don't have to be radically disengaged to the point to where we despise the world, or that we despise the flesh, or that we despise money. I used to think that if you were wealthy, you were just a greedy, worldly person posing as a Christian. I'm telling you, that's how radical I was. I used to think that wealthy people were by nature greedy, covetous, worldly people. I don't believe that anymore. And I'm hoping God will make me wealthy. I'd love to be wealthy. I haven't attained that, never experienced. That's one of the experiences I haven't had yet. But I've come to believe that we need to express and show Christ in all that we are and in all that we do. And that God loves this world. And we know, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son. We know that the world that he loved was the society, the people. The Bible says, don't love the world or the things in the world, for the love of the world is, you know, these things are not of God, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. But there's a tension in here that we have to figure out. And at one time, I was so far to the left that I saw no good in this world, and I saw no value in things, to the point to where now we've swung to another side. Now, I don't think we've swung too far. It's just that God has helped us to see there's value in education. I used to think that education was just something for the world, you know, get a degree. Now I've got an MBA degree. I actually wear the toga and did the march just about a year and a half ago, believe it or not. My kids were so proud of me because I actually went through a master's degree course, and it was fun. I enjoyed it. I love to learn. And I find value now in these things that once I saw as not valuable and not purposeful and not meaningful, and I've seen that God wants to redeem all of these things. He wants to redeem even our bodies. He wants to redeem our businesses. He wants to redeem our families. He wants to redeem our money. He wants to redeem our time. The Bible talks about redeeming your time. Amen? And so that's why we're now into business. Some people think I'm no longer a missionary because we're actually setting up social enterprise. Now, these businesses aren't benefiting me, but we believe that God can bless business to create revenues in order to use those revenues to get children off the streets and to build schools and to do good things with them. And what a joy it is to be a part of it. And guess what? Since we started the business, I'll just tell you one story. I'm the manager of this IT business. It took us years to get our footing, but we've got two workers in our business that are former professors in the local university. They were professors for 7 years. And they were, you know, teaching IT technologies. And so after several years, they both, one after the other, not at the same time, but they know each other. But first it was Patrick who came and said, "I'd like to apply for a job. I've heard about your company." So he's not a Christian. He doesn't even believe in God. He's a Catholic, but has lost his faith in God. And, you know, that happens in college, right? So I almost think that's what college is for. But anyway, he came in. We hired him. And about 6 months in, or probably 4 months in, he walks into my office one day. He says, "I got to talk to you." I said, "Sure, Patrick. What about?" He says, "This God thing." Sit down. He says, I don't understand this company." I said, "What don't you understand? Why do you treat us so nice?" It's like, "Well, should I treat you badly? Do you want me to? Would you like me to cut your pay in half?" And he's like, "I just don't understand." Like, what he was wrestling with was the love of God in a company that actually, something that they're not normally used to there, is a company caring, literally, truly caring about you. And not just because we pay well, but because we do devotions on Monday morning, we do devotions on Friday afternoon, and we have interspersed moments where we can share scripture verses and stuff like that, and we don't force anything on them. But what has drawn him was just the spirit and the nature of our company. And so I prayed with him that day, right there, as we talked about the things of God. I shared the Bible with him. He wanted to ask a lot of questions. And there I have an employee in a company who comes to Christ without even being preached at. I said, "Would you like to come to church on Sunday?" I didn't lead with that. I said, "Would you like to join us in church? I'll save a seat for you." Yeah, he showed up, sat next to me next Sunday. 3 weeks later, he was baptized. Then his girlfriend got baptized. And then Johnny, another professor, joins our company. He comes to Christ. We're seeing employees coming to Christ. I came in a couple months ago, and I walk into the office, and everybody's kind of like, you know, got the red eye thing, like my secretary and Bea and some others, and I'm thinking, what's going on? I thought, well, maybe it's something bad's going on, and I said, "You guys okay?" And, "Oh, yeah, we're okay. Ernie got saved this morning." I said, "Ernie got saved?" Like, Ernie's one of the guys that sits in the backside of the devotionals, and about a year ago in an evaluation, he said to me, I said, "What do you like the most about our company?" He said, "Jeff, what I like the most is devotions." Really? Because he'd never respond. He always sat as far away as possible and just kind of be quiet. And he made it kind of clear that, you know, he wasn't really into the religion stuff. And it's all good. It's okay. And I said, "Devotions." Because everyone in the whole company said the same thing. "What I like about the company the most is devotions." And even he did, and I was like, "Ernie, that's really surprising." He said, "I know, Jeff, you think I just sit off to the side and I don't listen, but the truth is I really like it, and I am listening." Really, that was a year ago. So about 2 months ago, I walk into the office, and everybody's kind of emotional. I said, "What happened?" "Ernie got saved." I said, "Ernie got saved? Well, how did that happen? I wasn't even here." No. That was my pride, my arrogance, no. No, people are getting saved faster than I can even count them now over there, and so I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, we were just having devotions this morning," and he kind of sat up to the table, and He said, so can you guys kind of like explain to me, like, how does this whole salvation thing work? So you're kidding me. And so Roy sitting next to him, Roy starts explaining to him the way of God and how you become a Christ follower. And so Ernie's just kind of sitting there. And so then Roy's looking at him and says, so would you like to become a Christian? And would you like to, yeah? So they pray and everybody starts crying. Everybody starts bawling. So I walk into my business, my IT business, and everybody's red-eyeing because somebody else got saved. And I'm thinking, this is a wonderful church. Amen? God doesn't need the church to be the church like this. God wants to express himself everywhere. God wants to express himself. I know this, and even as I say it, I remember the day when I would have thought, that guy should be hung, that's heresy. But God wants to express himself even through a paycheck. Can you believe that? That even through the honor that you would give to somebody, even through benefits and treating them nicely, God reveals himself through those things. Amen? God reveals himself to these children. They say, hungry children have no ears, right? And how do we express God's love to them? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? You've got to take them home. You've got to help them. You've got to feed them. You got to educate them. Somebody has to show the love of God to people in real and meaningful ways. We all understand, right? You have neighbors. You have people in this city that need to not just hear about Jesus, but they need to know, who is he? What does he look like? We know that when Jesus came to the world, he showed us the Father. You know, I was reading a book one time that said, it was explaining that when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, that, and this is how he described it. He said, Jesus knew that the movement he was starting would need a different style of leadership. And so he put on the towel and he went to his disciples and he taught them servant leadership. He starts washing their feet. Test. He washes their feet because he's trying to show them a new style of leadership. And this is what he says, because the movement that he started would not be able to be sustained by the then current ideas of leadership. And I read it and I thought, now wait a minute, you're missing the whole point here. Because when he comes to Peter, Peter says, no, you won't wash my feet. And Jesus says, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part of me. You remember that? You have no part of me. So in other words, you don't, and then he said, what I'm doing now, you don't understand, but you will understand it later. Let me wash your feet. And then Peter says, well, not just my feet, my whole body. He's like, no, dude, you wash your own body. I'll wash your feet. That's good enough. And the fact of the matter is this. Jesus wasn't trying to hoist some new leadership style on us. He was showing us his Father. That's what he was doing. He was expressing, this is who my Father is. This isn't just because it works. And you may hear this and you'll see that even the business community is using these techniques now. Servant leadership has made its way into the business community. They call it care. Some are actually calling it love now. Some are calling it human resource management with different titles. But the truth is, it emanated from the church. And it's come into the business community worldwide. Business community worldwide is recognizing the value of actually caring for people. And if you don't care for people, your business is going to collapse. Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful Christian principle that they wouldn't even know came from Jesus himself. But the point of the matter is that we have to show the Father to people. We see the Father in who Christ was and in what he did. You understand? Him dying on the cross, paying, forgiving, not holding sins against us, shows the Father's heart. We are also supposed to do that, right? We are to be forbearing and merciful to one another because that's the Father's heart. And that's how we express God in our communities. And so I'm excited about what God is doing, and I ain't getting anywhere through my message, so I won't be able to use this, so thank you for praying for me. But in the Bible and throughout history, my message really today was God's heart for the harvest. And if I leave you with anything, I hope that I can leave you with maybe a bit of a spark or maybe a little bit of a cut, a little bit of a wound on your heart to think about God's heart for the harvest. In the Bible and throughout history, we see God calls people into purposeful activity, into the purposeful activity of intervention in this world. We are seeing in our school, kids are getting saved. We see parents getting saved, and not because this is a Christian school, and if we give you a 10% discount, you must go to our church, and you have to you know, confess, you know, Christ and all that, or we'll take your discount away. And I'm being facetious, but there's schools that do that. They wouldn't say it like that, but that's what they're doing. And my daughter called me about 3 weeks ago, and she's blubbering, and, you know, I thought, oh, gosh, you're having a fight with your husband. And she puts her face off the screen. I'm like, are you okay? She says, just give me a minute, Dad, just give me a minute. And my daughter's very passionate. She was the girl on the video there. She's our oldest daughter. She administrates our school. And so they're making a new video about another kid who has come to Christ. And finally she kind of composes herself, and I said, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. I just got done interviewing Kyle, and I didn't know that he gave his life to Christ in the school. I thought it was in the church. And she was very emotional about that and very happy because she manages the school, and she loves to see. And she said, not only that, but one of our FTC boys is actually mentoring him now. And they're only like in sixth grade, and they're doing one-on-one weeklies because that's a big culture at Frontline. We do one-on-one. Everybody mentors somebody. And that's why I think the church is growing so fast right now. But she was so emotionally distraught almost over the fact that Christ had moved in the school again. And we're seeing families coming together because their children are in our school. She has parents walking into her office saying, I don't understand this school. Just like Patrick. I don't understand it. She's like, yeah, what is it? We've never been to a school where they actually care about our kids like this. You guys really care about our kids. Well, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. And it touches people and it blesses them. Do you understand? We're expressing Christ through education, through school, and people are coming to the Lord. In the business, they're coming to the Lord. Face the children through our churches. And so God calls us to purposeful activity in the work of intervention. Christ on the cross, the resurrection, that was an intervention for us. In Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham to a personal life of adventure that he says, I will bless the entire earth through you. This is one, a call by God to a person to work with him in something mysterious and wonderful. Now let me tell you something. I believe that many are called, if you are chosen. I know personally what I believe is that many are called but few are listening, or few will really respond. Look at what happens with Abraham. God says, I will bless the earth through you. Through you will all nations be blessed. I mean, is that a crazy call or what? Like, can you imagine hearing that yourself? Now, I don't claim to have done a great work in the world, but as I've told you before, I'm so thankful that when God called me, I was dumb enough to say, okay, yeah, I'll go. And even when people said you shouldn't and the Holy Spirit said don't listen to them, I said, okay, I'll go. I don't know what you're doing or where you're leading me or what you're telling me, but I'll go. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Isn't it a wonderful thing? I am calling you to work with me, and I will bless you and make you a blessing to the whole world. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. Read Hebrews chapter 11 and you will have a confirmation there that Abraham left not knowing where he was even going. Now that's messed up, okay? I went out to the mission field 5 weeks being a Christian. That's messed up. Never do that, okay? That's just wrong, all right? No. It's not wrong. It's not normal. And it's not normal for a guy to go where he doesn't even know. But thank God that he was silly enough or faithful enough or trusting enough or whatever you want to call it to say, okay, you're going to go to a land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord told him. Let's just appreciate for a moment the call of God on Abram. He calls him to believe, to obey, and to go so that God can make him a blessing to other people. I believe this is what God wants to do with you and with me and with this church and with Frontline and with your business and with our schools, with everything that we do. I believe God wants to bless us so that we will be a blessing to this world. I believe that with all my heart. Because God is relentlessly passionate about people. So God calls Abram and he goes, but does not explain everything. And this is another problem that we have. I know that you guys have been through some teachings on the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. I've been involved in that for years. I've been to revivals and I've seen things I couldn't understand. And I have learned over the years that God doesn't ask us to understand. And we can't demand to understand because he doesn't give us that. We read Hebrews 11, it says, we understand by faith that God created the heavens and the earth with his word. Do you understand that? I sure don't. Okay, I mean, try it. I've tried to walk on water. It doesn't work well for me. There's a lot of things I don't understand. And God doesn't always tell us everything about his call. And so what we see here is the first got a call of God on a man into his redemptive work toward humanity. Abraham is called to a mission of becoming a vehicle through which God may bless millions of other people. And you know the rest of the story. The nation of Israel comes. The patriarchs come from him. He didn't know all that was going to happen. He didn't know any of that. But he went. And then he has and he promises a kid. Then he gets Isaac. Finally he gets Isaac. God tells him to kill Isaac. He tries. God stops him. From Isaac comes Jacob. Then the 12 patriarchs. Then the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel becomes, at one point in time, the most renowned, blessed, wise, world-attracting nation on the planet. And until today, Israel is a focal point in the history of the world. Until today. Because Abram went. Wow, isn't that incredible? What is God telling you to do? What is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to? And are you hearing? Are you listening? And do you know what God's telling you to do? Do you know what he's asked you to do? And if not, I would challenge you today to ask him, Lord, can you at least clarify to me what you want me to be doing? Where do you want me to go? What should we be involved in as a body? What do you want us to do in Helena? What have you called us to do here? What is our place and what is our purpose? If God's calling you individually to do something or to go somewhere, I can promise you this. I guarantee you, you will never outgive God. Cast your bread on the water. After many days, it will come back to you. Amen? God can be trusted. And so I challenge you today, believe the Lord. If the Lord's calling you into ministry, go for it. Don't be afraid. Let God use you. If God's calling you into the things of the Spirit, go for it. Don't be afraid. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to control it either, because there's very little in life that we can control, and that's the truth. We have no idea what's going to happen today or tomorrow. So very little is actually under our control. So I challenge you today to believe God as a community, as a church. I hope that you guys will really capture a great vision of how God wants to use you in this community in all kinds of ways. In all kinds of ways, and not just here. So that you're not just inviting people to come and listen to our great preacher, you know, JR and Jason, who I'm sure are great preachers, but that's not what we lead with. Leading with inviting people to church, that's not what Christianity is about. We need to go out and show the Father to Helena, show the Father to our community. In so many ways we can do that. And so I encourage you to do it. Can we pray? Father, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the simplicity of the gospel and the terrifying truth of it all. Lord, we need to balance that. I know we do need to live our lives. We need to occupy until you come. But Lord, today, would you remind us of how your heart is broken for Helena and for the people around this church and around our homes? Would you remind us, Lord, that as you said to your disciples, you guys always say 4 more months, then comes the harvest. I'm telling you, no, lift up your eyes and look now. The harvest is ripe. Lord, would you convince us that there's a work to be done, and it's now? Lord, that there's people out there that are lonely and broken and crying and searching, just like we were. Would you thrust us out there, Lord? Would you take us in ways that are meaningful to them? Would you help us to speak some of their language? Lord, would you connect us with the people of this city? And thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I just pray today that you would remind us, Lord, of what a great calling you've put on this church. And what a great calling you lay before us. And you invite us to cast our bread on the water, to take risk, to believe you. And Lord, I pray that you'd make this church risky, Lord, willing to take risks and to believe you. Lord, would you bless this church abundantly. And I pray that everyone in this church today would go home with a bit more burden on their heart for lost souls and children that are hurting, people that are hurting around us. Would we hear the cry also of your heart? Not just focus on our own problems, but the problems that are around us. Would you help us to participate, Lord? And I thank you today for our partnership in the gospel. I thank you for all that you've done at Frontline. Would you continue to bless the work? And would you bless our friendship with this church? And I thank you and I give you the praise for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
For more information, visit our website at www.mounthelena.cc. Download our mobile app available in iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook.